Good evening. Welcome to our JEP Identity Lecture. Pleasure to have you all. This is our first lecture of the fall season. We're very pleased to be back at the home of Elaine and Eddie Meister. They are wonderful hosts, and they've been very close to JEP of Westchester for many, many years. As a matter of fact, many years ago, we had a wonderful lecture right here in the Meister home, and it's a great treat and a pleasure to be back. And we hope that as a result of our being here this evening, the inspiration that we will experience, we hope will be a source of bracha to you and your entire family for the upcoming year, with Hashem's help. Tonight's lecture is a memorial lecture, the Mark and Kushiko family's memorial lecture. This is an annual event that was dedicated by Gertrude Mark and her late husband Eugene Mark. I'd say none of you in this room have ever met them, but they have actually been we got one person who did meet them. They're people who from behind the scenes. They don't even live in Westchester. They live out in the island. Gertrude Mark lives out in the island. And they have her late husband had a great appreciation of what we're doing here. So I want you to know that JEP of Westchester is in possession of only one Sefer Torah, and they donated it. And when they donated the Sefer Torah, we did something that does not happen every day in Mamaroneck, and that is we had a parade with about 200 people up Boston Post Road with musical accompaniment, and it's a very, very assimilated town, and the people were standing there, and they figured people landed from Mars, you know, they didn't know what was going on, but it was a real Kiddush Hashem. So they made it possible, and we hope that this memorial lecture is in memory of both of their parents, and then the Shabbos, their departed souls, we hope will have an aliyah, a great elevation in the Olam HaEmes, in the world of truth. Ezra Sasham. I must acknowledge the presence of one particular individual here, who's here tonight, and that is Rabbi Mordechai Hecht. Rabbi Mordechai Hecht, he's a person who I've known for about 50 years. He devotes his life to teaching Torah to Jewish kids. For many, many, many years, he was a Rebbe in Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim High School, and in also Hawk, which Hebrew Academy of South Queens, a wonderful place that introduced many young kids to the beauty of Yiddishkeit. And just the fact that Rabbi Hecht is with us means a great deal. He said something, he called me over about 3 minutes ago, just before I got up, and he said something very interesting. He says it's obvious to him that all of the people who are here tonight must be very exceptional people, and all of you must be loved by Hashem. So I ask him, how do you know that? Even though I know it, but he's here the first time. I say, how do you know it? So he told me like this. He said, look, we're in Westchester County, and there were over 150,000 Jews in Westchester County, and let's put it this way: it's in Westchester, it's easier to get people to go for a root canal than to come out and learn Torah. And because the Sutton really fights hard, you understand. And here we, all of you wonderful people are here, getting close to Rosh Hashanah, you want some inspiration. And the very fact that you're here says a great deal about who all of you are. And Rabbi Hecht figured it out. Yashar Koach. We're very, very delighted to welcome back, because we've already had Rabbi Sokoloff, our guest speaker tonight. He's been with us already, I would say, about five different lectures over the years, approximately. And I was trying to figure out, you know, who the right speaker would be to, you know, give us a jump start going into Rosh Hashanah. We need a jump start. And Rabbi Sokolov, I hear him speak. As a matter of fact, often my wife and I, we spend Shabbos in Kew Gardens. We have a daughter and a family that live in Kew Gardens, so we're there very often for Shabbos. And generally when we daven there, we daven in the Kew Gardens Synagogue. That's the synagogue where Rabbi Sokolov is the rabbi. We'd like to welcome his rabbinate as well. And what can I tell you? Our sages tell us, they give us insight into the key to effective communication. You know, you can go to the Carnegie School, you know, they'll give you some tips, but our sages tell us that the real underlying key to get people, you know, to get people involved in your words is what? Devarim hayotzim min halev nichnasim lalev. Words that emanate from the heart penetrate into the heart. And anybody who has heard Rabbi Sokolov speak, all of the members of his congregation who, you know, they can attest to the fact that every word that comes out of his mouth starts off in his heart. And it's just an honor and a great privilege to have you. I will tell you, you know, we have speakers for many, many different areas. We have never had a speaker who has attracted so many individuals from his own neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, you figure, look, they live in Kew Gardens, they hear him speak, and they'll have to schlep up here to hear him anyway. They probably hear him next Shabbos. What are they doing here over here? But, you know what I'm saying? Like, hearing Rabbi Sokolov is addictive. And as a matter of fact, Rabbi, in addition to the fact that Rabbi Sokolov is the spiritual leader of Kew Gardens Synagogue, he also teaches high school girls in Shevach High School in Kew Garden Hills, and one of his students who hears him, how often do you get to hear Rabbi Sokolov? How many times a week?
She graduated.
Oh, you graduated already?
She graduated.
Oh, you mazel tov. So one of his students came, she had to hear her Rebbe. I'll tell you a little secret. Two of our granddaughters have had Rabbi Sokolov as a Rebbe, one of them presently. So, your granddaughters as well? Okay. So, I don't want to keep you in suspense too long. So without any further ado, it is my great personal privilege and our great collective honor to ask Rabbi Sokolov to please come forward. And I want you to know, by the way, a big part of the reason Rabbi Sokolov is here is to do me a personal favor, because he's spread very, very thin. He's not feeling so hot tonight. You know, he's running a big shul, and he's teaching, and he's running around, and he's getting ready for Yontif. So what's he doing in Scarsdale? He said he knew that this would do a great deal for the work that we're doing up here, and he felt that that was important enough to come. Thank you very much, Rabbi Sokolov. Okay.
Good evening to all of you. And it's hard to hear someone say so many nice things about you. But I really appreciate it. And the truth is that I did come tonight because I really do admire Rabbi and Mrs. Zaitchik for everything that they do. They've spent so many years here in this neighborhood, in this community, and they've really devoted their lives, I guess, to all of you. They've really given of themselves. And it's really a statement of love that they have for all of you and for the Rabbona Shalom, for the work that they do. And so I came tonight just to show my support for the Zaitchiks and for the area here. And I really hope that all of you will have a very sweet and a healthy and a good year, filled with blessings, with bracha, with mazel, and good health, and only besarot tovot, only good things happening.
Amen.
So Rabbi Zaitchik is also very good at coming up with titles. So he sent me the title of tonight's lecture, Road to the Palace, Experiencing the Majesty of Rosh Hashanah. I was intrigued by the title. I wasn't sure what to do with it, with the title. So I had to think about it. Road to the Palace, Experiencing the Majesty of Rosh Hashanah. So let's see if we can try to understand the majesty first, the majesty of Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll talk about the road to the palace. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a very interesting day. It's the day of judgment, as you and I all know. We hope and we pray that we'll all have a good year and a sweet year and a healthy year. And we'll be judged, each and every one of us. As the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Kol boy olam, over in lefon of kivnei moron. Every single individual passes before Hashem in judgment on the day of Rosh Hashanah. You don't find that in any other Yom Tov. All the other Yom Tovim are more directed to the tzibur, to the community, to the nation. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the individual will all be judged. There's a certain level of anxiety, certain level of concern, but we're optimistic people. We always are confident and hopeful that the judgment will be favorable and it will be a good year. But what's interesting is that we don't speak about ourselves in the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. If we're being judged, you would think that we'd start to talk about, to think about what I've done this year. I need improvement in this area. I have to start saying, Al Chait, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, and Vidui, and confession. And none of that happens on Rosh Hashanah. We don't talk about ourselves on Rosh Hashanah. When do we do that? On Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is filled with vidui, filled with tshuva. That's Yom Kippur. But Rosh Hashanah, not so. What do we do in Rosh Hashanah? About whom do we speak on Rosh Hashanah? If you look at the Machzor and you look at the Davening, you'll see that essentially we talk about Hashem. And we talk about what the world should look like in the view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's essentially what we do. We talk about Him. And what's the theme that comes across on Rosh Hashanah? Hashem Melech. Hashem is the King. And on this day, what happens? Hashem is the King. So as the Gemara tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says to each and every one of us, Imru lefonei malchios. Say for me the blessing of the malchios. We know that in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we have three additional blessings. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchios is the coronation of God. And so, Hashem says, Imru lefonei malchios, recite the blessing of malchios. Kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, so that you can make me your king. Now, what exactly is this all about? Rosh Hashanah is a day in which we make Hashem king. He needs us to make him king. Strange. He turns to us and says to us, make me your king. What does he mean? Make me your king. I'm your king anyway. I'm God. I'm all powerful. What do I need you to make me king? So it would seem that the whole holiday of Rosh Hashanah is fundamentally different than all of the other Yomim Tovim. Because in all of the other Yomim Tovim, we find we are on the receiving end. They all represent events that occurred to the Jewish people. Miraculous events that we as a people were benefited by. On Pesach, what was the gift of Pesach? Redemption. Freedom. The gift of Shavuos. The receiving of the Torah. The gift of Sukkos. Being protected by the heavenly clouds. Even Yom Kippur. There, we are on the receiving end. We get a gift from God. What's the gift we receive from God on Yom Kippur? Forgiveness. We're receiving gifts on all those days. On Rosh Hashanah, what happens? What does Hashem say? I need something. This all-powerful God says to His children, I need you. What do I need you for? You see, I can't be a king if you're not there accepting my kingdom. It just won't work. If I'm a king, it's only because you accept me as your king. If you don't accept me, I can't be a king. And the Vilna Gaon, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, has a fascinating explanation of this idea. And he says that rulership can be expressed in one of two ways. Either through consent or oppression. I can force myself. Power. And there are two terms that are expressive of these two forms of rulership. There's a melech and a mosheil. A melech means a king who rules through consent. That the people accept this person as the king. On the other hand, a mosheil. A mosheil is one who rules through oppression. And I don't need you to accept me, because I rule over you. As it says in the Pasuk, Ki Lashem Amelucha U'Moshel Bagoyim. Hashem is king over the Jewish people. U'Moshel Bagoyim. But yet when it comes to the non-Jewish world, what's the relationship between the non-Jewish world and God? He's a Moshel. He's not a Melech. Rather, he's considered to be a Moshel. So what happens? What do we have to do on this day of Rosh Hashanah? We want him to be our king. We want him to be our king. We have to say to him, we accept you as our king. We begin to talk about the majesty of Rosh Hashanah. Accepting God as our king. But we must take it one step further. And that is the following. In order for God to be our king, there has to be some measure of commonality between the king and his subjects. If there is no commonality between the king and the subjects, he can't be a king. It doesn't really work. I'll give you an example. Rav Huttner explains this, and Rabbi Azriel Tauber in the Sefer Pirkei Machshava, and he explains the following. He says, if you look in the jungle, who's the king of the jungle? Well, most people assume the king of the jungle is the lion. What would happen if human beings walked into the jungle and they wanted to bring order to the jungle. And they decided that they were going to turn the jungle into a hunting ground or a game reserve. So they'll take over. Would you now say that those human beings, those men, are now king of the jungle? No. They would not be called king of the jungle. It would be an insult to them to be called king of the jungle. Because what is it about the lion that makes him king of the jungle? Because he belongs in the jungle. He lives in the jungle. That's his habitat. And so because that is his habitat, he therefore is king of that jungle. But a person is not, his habitat is not the jungle. He would not be king of the jungle. But rather, what is the people? They rule over the jungle. But they're not king. Because to be king, there has to be some measure of commonality between the king and his subjects. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you a question. A person can be a king over other people. And a lion can be a king over an animal, other animals. There is commonality between people, commonality between those animals. But how is it that God will be king over us? We're simple little people. He's God. We're not on the same level. We are not alike. How can God be viewed as king? It's almost like a person being a king over the jungle. The answer is, we are not the jungle. And if God can be our king, you know what that means? What that means is that I have something in common with Hashem. There's something in me that can be godly. What's inside of me and what's inside of you? There's a part of Hashem that rests within all of us. Chelek Eloika Mima'al, a portion of the divine, rests within each and every one of us. There's divinity. There's a divine portion inside of us. And if that be the case, I'm, so to speak, on the same level. I'm in that category where I could be subject to the kingship of God. Why? Because I am also divine. There's something inside of me. So therefore, I can claim God to be my king because I'm godly. I'm divine. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. On Rosh Hashanah, what is it about Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, we declare God to be king. But do you know what it is about the majesty of Rosh Hashanah? Not just that we declare God to be king, but do you know what else? We declare ourselves to be divine, whereby we have the capacity to declare God to be our king. There's a commonality between us and between him. That's the majesty of Rosh Hashanah. That's what we are declaring on this day. We're making a statement before Yom Kippur. God is our king, and we have we're divine, we're godly. You've got to be a godly person for God to be our king. That's what he said. That's a beautiful, beautiful thought. That's Rosh Hashanah. So in order for me to turn God into that king, what must I do? What must I say? What are we doing on Rosh Hashanah? How is it that we declare God to be our king? He can't be king without us. We must declare him to be king. What do we say? So there is an interesting Gemara in Maseches Berachos. Do you know what the end of davening, the end of Shemona Esrei, what do we say at the end of Shemona Esrei every day? Elokai Netzor, a form of supplication that we engage in following the brachos of Shemona Esrei before we complete the Shemona Esrei. If you look in the Gemara has a machlokas. There are different opinions as to what we should be saying after the Shemona Esrei. There's one opinion, we don't follow it. We follow the opinion in the Gemara that says we should be reciting Elokai Netzor. But there's another opinion that said that this rabbi said the following statement after he finished his Shemona Esrei. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Alexandria, after he finished the Shemona Esrei, he said the following. Ribon ha'olamim, master of the world, galui v'yadua lefanecha, it is revealed and known before you, sheritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha, our will is to follow your will. That's what is our deepest desire. Ritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha. Umima'akev. Who's stopping me? How come I don't seem to be able always to carry that desire out? What's holding me back? And so he says, Sor Shebe'isa, the yeast that's found in the dough, that causes the dough to rise. What's he have in mind? The selfish inclination within a person, the Yetzirah, holding me back. The Shibin Malchios, and the subjugation of the nations over us. Political conditions, social conditions, all of these things make it hard for me to carry out my deepest desire. Yihiratzon milfanecha, God, may it be your will, shetatzileinu miyadam, save me from those forces. And therefore, we should be zocha lasos chukei ritzonecha, I should be able to fulfill your will, b'levav shalem, with a full heart. That's what he said every day when he finished Shemona Esrei. And so I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, what is it about Rosh Hashanah that through which we render Hashem Melech? What do we say on this day of Rosh Hashanah? We're saying, Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha. God, we want you to know that it is our real, our deepest desire to do what you ask of us. That's our goal. That's our hope. That's our desire. That's what we hope in life. That's what we want in life. To follow what you say. And we are trying on Rosh Hashanah to somehow show him, this is who we are. We may not be perfect. We may do things that perhaps at times are not necessarily consistent with that which the Torah asks of us and that which he asks of us. But that's not a reflection on who we are. We are good. We want to do what's right. It's in our heart. That's the essence of who we are. We accept you, God, as our King, because Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha, that is our deepest desire. We're going to have to deal with Yom Kippur later. We're going to have to do our Al-Chait and do our Teshuvah. But before we do that, there's something that we have to do first. We have to establish our identity. We have to know who we are. If you don't know who you are, you won't be able to say, I'm sorry for what I did. You don't know who you are. You don't really know what you expect of yourself. One needs to establish his own self-identity. And what is the identity of a Jew? We are the subjects of God. Ritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha. This is who I am. Ribbono shel Olam, please, do you see who I am? Look into my heart. Do you see who I really am? This is what I really want. Have compassion upon me if I don't make it all the time. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's what you're doing. And we try to prove it to God. And how do we prove it? We make reference to what's prominent on the day of Rosh Hashanah, the Akedas Yitzchak. When Avraham came and did what? He took Isaac, his son, placed him on the altar, ready to slaughter him and bring him as a sacrifice. Until the angel came and told him, stop. That was an incredible and a historical event. Why do we make mention of that? Why do we place such prominence upon that? So many say the reason is because you want to invoke the merit of Isaac. But it could be there's another idea behind it. We're not just coming to invoke the merit of Isaac, the Meshech Chachma. Rav Meir Simcha from Dvinsk explains in his commentary on Chumash in Parshas Vayera. He says that when Avraham took his son Yitzhak and bound him to the altar and was ready to sacrifice his son, what statement did Avraham make? Ritzoni, lasos ritzonecha. My desire is to do exactly as you say. What statement did Yitzchak make? Ritzoni, lasos ritzonecha. It's my deepest desire to do what you want, God. You're my king. You're my life. You come first. That's my deepest desire. When Avraham and Yitzchak engaged in that event and they passed that test, they passed on a legacy to all of their future descendants. We have it inside of us too. It's inside. Ritzoneinu lasus ritzonecha. That's who we are. That's why we invoke Akedas Yitzchak. Not just for the merit, but we're trying to show God, show Hashem, look who we are. It came from them. They passed it down to us. We want to do what's right. Sometimes we have challenges along the way that make it somewhat difficult. But that doesn't mean we don't want to do what's right. That's not a reflection on who we really are. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we beg of you, on this day of Rosh Hashanah, for establishing who we are. And look at us in that way. Look at us in that light. This is the majesty of Rosh Hashanah. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? We give something to God that He needs. We become givers on Rosh Hashanah. The rest of all the Yamim and Tovim, we receive. We take. We're on the receiving end. On Rosh Hashanah, there's one thing that God needs from us. One thing that He depends on us. Make me a melech. Make me your king. And we give it to Him. And we tell Him, yes, you are king. Ritzoneinu. Lasos ritzonecha, because I have inside of me chelek eloka mimal. You have to know how to look at yourself. You have to see this incredible special quality that lies inside of you. Most people don't see it. Most people don't even feel it. They don't sense that something different about us. We will walk outside, we share the street with the rest of the world. But we're not like the rest of the world. We're different. We have a different destiny. We have a different set of values. We are different. And when a person feels that, and you begin to sense and feel inside, something about me that really is genuinely different. So then, life becomes different. Life is different. Rosh Hashanah is called Ori, my light. V'Dovid Hashem, Ori V'Yishi, we say during Chodesh Elul. Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, what's my light? Rosh Hashanah. In what sense is Rosh Hashanah my light? How is Rosh Hashanah light? One of the girls in class asked me that question. Why do we call Rosh Hashanah Ori? So I sent her home and the rest of the class with a homework assignment. Go find out the answer. That's the safe way to deal with it when you don't know the answer, right? Just tell them, you go find the answer and come back and give me the answer. But you know what the answer is? The answer is when you see the world from God's perspective, when you see it from that light, that gives you, puts a light onto everything you see. Everything looks different. Because Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha Vamelech. And I perceive life in that way. And so I look at it in that way, and therefore I accept it in a certain way, and I can deal with it differently. The light of Rosh Hashanah helps me deal with everything that comes my way. And this brings me to the first part of this title, Road to the Palace. Well, on Rosh Hashanah, we're in the palace. On Rosh Hashanah, we accept God as our King. On Rosh Hashanah, we recognize who we are. There's something inside of us. We feel it. We sense it. What does Rabbi Sitchik mean when he speaks about the road to the palace? Well, that's what we do all year round when we're trying to reach the palace. And we're trying to do what? All year round, there's an effort that we put forth in somehow enhancing this sense of God being my King in everything that I do in life. Everything in life, all of life, is a road, a journey. And on this journey, what is it that I'm charged to do throughout this journey? Figure out a way, find a way to somehow show, yes, Hashem is my King. I sense it even more. And I'll tell you, in last week's parsha, the Torah said, begins the parsha, Shoftim Shotrim Titein Lecha B'chol She'arecha. You should place judges and all of your gates. That's how the Torah says. The Torah is teaching us that every community must have its own rabbinic court with judges in its gates. But if you look in the commentaries on the Parsha, so you see that they tell us that Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha is not only referring to communities, cities, neighborhoods, but rather, to whom is it referring? Individuals. Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol she'arecha. You shall place shoftim lecha, you, individual, in all of your gates. What are my gates? We go through many, many gates as we travel through life. And as we go through each gate in life, the Torah is telling us, place judges there and see and judge. If you're passing through this gate and you leave this gate, Will you feel God's malchus more than you did before? Will you be growing in that relationship with Hashem? Because that's what every gate, when it opens up, if you go through it properly, you know what's supposed to happen? You're supposed to feel Hashem Melech more than you felt it before. That's true in all events of life. You know what the gates are? I think the gates of life are all the events that we go through in life. You're blessed with a child. That's a gate. You travel through, it's a new milestone. You bring a child into the world. Perform a bris if it's a boy. You make a bracha, lachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu. If we appreciate the gift that God gave us. So at that moment, that's a gate. We're traveling through that gate. Will we feel Hashem Melech more after that little baby has come into our lives? Two people get married and they're privileged to build a home together. That's a gate. And in that gate, when you build a home, what is it that that home is supposed to ultimately result in? When you go through it, can you say, Hashem Melech? I'm passing through that gate and I feel Hashem Melech. There are also situations in life that can be very, very challenging. Extremely challenging. Everything in life that happens is another gate through which we have to pass. And each and every one of those gates is intended for us a purpose to ultimately be able to grow and to feel Hashem Melech. Hashem is our King. I can just tell you a story. A story that occurred to us just within the last few weeks. I thought it was a remarkable story. It's a young man whom my wife and I have known for many years. This young man was a member in my community, my first community in which I was a rabbi. And he always tells me he was our first bar mitzvah, first bar mitzvah boy. Unfortunately, he took ill. He's not an observant young man, at least not yet. Not yet an observant young man. But he got sick, and he had a liver transplant 27 years ago. And I went to Pittsburgh to be with him when he had that transplant. Well, just recently, within the last few months, he took ill again. And now, not only did he need a new liver, he needed a new kidney, a double organ transplant. And he was in the hospital. And you could see he was sick. And he was just waiting for someone, I hate to say it, waiting for someone to die, because he was going to have this procedure done to him simultaneously, both organs together, liver and kidney done together, coming from the same person. And not a well young man, very sick. And he was there he was in the hospital for a while, several weeks, a couple of months, he was there, nothing happening. He called me up and he says to me, Rabbi, I need to speak to you. He tells me on the phone, Rabbi, I love you. He was scared. I love you. You're my Rebbe. So I went to the hospital to speak to him. And I was sitting with him. I walk in. He starts to cry. He's nervous. And as I'm sitting, we're talking, his parents ask him, would he like to speak to me alone? And he said yes. So we sit and we talk together. And he's telling me he's nervous, and you know, we're just talking about the past, and then finally, I turned to him and said to him, "Brian, have you davened at all lately?" He says, "No." I said, "How about let's davening a little bit? Should we daven a little?" He says, "Yes, I'd like to do that." So I was wearing a hat and a yarmulke, and he wasn't wearing anything on his head. I took my hat off. I took my yarmulke off, wore my hat, put my yarmulke on his head, and I said Shema with him. He felt better. I turned to him and said to him, "Brian, have you spoken to God lately? Talked to him at all?" He said, "Not really." I said, "You know what? Maybe it would be a good idea if you tried to start to talk a little bit to him. Maybe he can help you." I left. And I really wasn't even sure if what I did was effective. I wasn't sure. Didn't know. It was the right thing to do. The following morning, I received a text. It was from Brian. And in the text, he writes, "Rabbi, I want you to know, I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I said the Shema. I read the Shema. And I read the Shema, and I know in the Shema says, God is the one God of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are the one people that follow the will of, the follow that which the Torah says, and I trust that Hashem is going to help me." 2 days later, a call came. They found a donor. Found a donor 2 days later. He had waited for weeks and weeks and weeks, and nothing happened. And then, 2 days later, they found the donor after he said Shema. You know what he did? At that moment, he said, "Hashem Melech." That's what he said. Hashem Melech. Felt it. And Hashem responded. He had the surgery. He's now in rehab. Can you imagine? Double organ transplant. Imagine that. On the table for 12 hours, 13 hours. Having to go back for a second surgery too. Can you imagine? And he's in rehab now. He's doing well, Baruch Hashem. But you know the best thing of all here? He said, Hashem Melech. You know how many situations in life people go through? Trying situations, challenging situations. You know what the goal of all those situations are? To ultimately be able to say, Hashem Melech. Not so simple, not so easy. But if you feel Hashem Melech, you can find light in all those situations. Sometimes they may appear dark, not so easy. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's the road to the palace. Every day of life, am I utilizing? How am I dealing with life? Am I trying to say to Hashem, Ritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha, Hashem melech? And in that way, I just say, this is my deepest desire. I know it's not easy. I know sometimes there are challenges that are difficult. I realize that. I make mistakes. But Hashem, Hashem melech. That's the goal of Rosh Hashanah. That's the majesty of Rosh Hashanah. And that's the road to the palace. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to wish you just a wonderful, wonderful, sweet, and healthy new year. It should be filled with blessings, filled with simchos, with joyous occasions, filled with nachas. only good should come your way. And I again hope that all of us will always feel that something special, that special quality about us. We're unique. We're not like anybody else. And to be able to say those words, Hashem Melech, that will carry us through everything that may and will come our way. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Rabbi Sokolov? Welcome. Anything relating to Rosh Hashanah? Anything on your mind? This is a real opportunity.
Doesn't look like it.
Can't the road go the other way as well? Gates of judgment are in all of our perceptions, you know, how we see, how we speak, how we hear.
That's 100% true. The question which is asked is, I spoke about gates in terms of situations that occur in life, challenges of life. Every challenge is another gate you have to go through. That's how I interpreted the Sha'arim. And those challenges are intended to somehow help you grow. That's their purpose. It doesn't feel like that when you're going through it. Sometimes it can be very difficult. But the goal is, ultimately, Hashem Melech, and that emboldens you, and you see light, and you grow. So this fine person says, but maybe there's another idea of Sha'arim, and that is the senses that you have. You know, the Shaloh HaKadosh says that the Sha'arim, the gates that we have seven gates in our head. What are they? Two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and our mouth. Those are gates. In what way are they gates? They're gates to the outside world. They're gates through which we relate and interact with that which goes around us. And that itself requires judges. When I use my eyes, how do I use my eyes? I need to set forth judges by my eyes. Because eyes are how I interact with what's around me. Those eyes could be used in a beautiful way. Those eyes could be used in a way in which they could enhance the name of God in this world. But those eyes could be used in a selfish way too. And you need judges. When you listen to people talk, you have to place judges by your ears. Because you may hear things that are very good and very important and very helpful, but on the other hand, you may hear what is commonly known as Lashon Hara. And you don't want to hear that. You need judges by your ears, about your mouth. I'm not talking about what goes in your mouth. I'm talking about what comes out of your mouth. The mouth is a tool that can be used for such incredible good. This tongue that God gave us, it's so incredible. You can build people. You have it within your capacity through your words and sensitivity to lift people's spirits. That's beautiful. But when that tongue is used to tear a person down, that's awful. That's destructive. One needs to place judges at your mouth so that you know how to interact with the world around you. If that's what you have in mind, that's very, very true. 100%. How we interact and interface with everything. You have to have judges for that. That's right. That's true.
Maybe if those judges are appropriate judges.
So when I speak about setting forth judges, who am I talking about? Now, I don't necessarily mean we have people that are judging. The judges we're talking about is you. It means that one needs to be cognizant of what's going around, of what's happening all the time. One needs to be sensitive. Whether we're talking about our interaction with society in terms of our eyes and our ears and our mouth, whether we're talking about how to interpret and how to react to situations that happen that can be difficult, we need to put forth judges in all of those cases. Judges mean we have to sit down and really think. The instinct is for the eyes to look at whatever seems attractive. The instinct is for the ears to listen to whatever is juicy. The instinct is when things are difficult and there's challenges, the instinct is to give in to that. Then it's bad, it's terrible, oh my gosh, I'm getting beaten again. You have to put judges right there. And yet judges have to sit, you have to stop and think, wait a minute. Hashem Melech. Whatever happens in life, there's a reason. Help me. I want to do what's right. And I want to love you too at the same time. Help me. Help me realize that whatever's happening around me ultimately is meant for the good. Help me realize that. Help me find that light. When you say Hashem Melech, when you give to Him, when you make Him your King, you can find light in dark situations. Without it, the situations remain dark. It's hard to find the light. And this is not an easy thing to do, but this is Rosh Hashanah. That's exactly what Rosh Hashanah is. Hashem Melech. Our deepest desire is to do what you ask of us. And I put my faith in you. And I'm connected to you. And you will give me the strength that I need. I beg of you, give me that strength. Because I need it. Pray for it. And you know what? The donor will come. The donor will come. And you'll experience a measure of salvation because you look at it differently. He's always there. The key is somehow to always feel. And I'm not telling you any of this stuff is easy. It's not easy. It's difficult. But I don't know of any other better way to live life than in the way of which Hashem Melech. I just don't know any other way that's better. Any other way that would be as ultimately as fulfilling and rewarding. I just don't know any other way. And bracha comes. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's the majesty. And you have it inside of you. It's inside of you. Just have to know it. You have to feel it. It's in there. And that'll give you strength.
Thank you, Rabbi. We're very, very grateful to Rabbi Sokolov. And I'd like to give you one guess. The last couple of years, there's been a Shabbos project that has been attracting Jews in communities across the country. And Jeff of Westchester participated in one, it was the same Shabbos all across the country in many, many cities. And guess which synagogue we decided to spend the Shabbos project in? One guess. You guessed it. Rabbi Sokolov Shul. And everybody who came was privileged to come to the Sokolov home and enjoy an unforgettable Shabbos meal. So actually, I will tell you this. The Shabbos Project weekend has been designated already for November 11th and 12th. So it's important to stay in touch with us. We'll fill you on details. We hope to be, be involved again. Very special event. Rabbi Sokolov told us, by the way, that we don't need a new engine because we have a beautiful engine within us, a part of Hashem. That's our engine. But we do need a tune-up. So the next two Monday nights at 8:30 at Jep's headquarters in Mamaroneck, we're going to have a class for men and women entitled Spiritual Tune-Up. So you're invited to join us. And the next two Wednesdays, special class for women on understanding the prayers that we're going to be saying during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The info is we're going to have the info on our table here very shortly. We hope to daven Ma'ariv in just 5 minutes right here. We hope to have a minion. So if the men could please join us. I would like to announce for your calendar the date of our next lecture. We targeted the next lecture to be right smack in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And Sunday evening, October 9th, we've invited Rabbi Mordechai Becher from the Gateways Organization. He's a powerhouse. So this will be taking place at the home of Vera and Jason Kessler in New Rochelle. So we've got a lot happening, and we want to thank Eddie and Elaine for their spectacular hospitality. Everybody is invited to partake in the refreshment. 5 minutes to Maariv. Have a good, healthy, wonderful, sweet, uplifting year. Amen.